It's time for JT the Brick.
This is a new regime led by Antonio Pierce, a former player who's won a Super Bowl.
Our vision is clear. Win a division.
He's the right guy at the right time for this job. Right guy, right time to get the Raiders back, not to greatness, to the playoffs.
Our intention of how we play, the execution of our play, the mindset of our team, that's what I'm looking for.
I would love to see Antonio Pierce have the opportunity to coach this Raider team. I think he deserves it.
JT the Brick.
This coach wants to be more physical. He wants to put his hands on players.
You got the Jordan rules, and I'm calling now from now on, as long as I'm here, the Patrick Mahomes rules.
I like when the head coach says this. I'm a season ticket holder.
Squeezing by the throat.
Antonio Pierce wants to get the black hole back to where it was in the Coliseum in Oakland. Let's help him.
And now, here's JT the Brick.
Out of the gate, JT with you as we open it up today. From the flagship of the Silver and Black, Raider Nation Radio, 920 AM, live on the Raiders mobile app, and LVSportsNetwork.com has a live stream. So we got several audio live streams. The only way you can see me is if you get on our YouTube page, where we got people climbing into YouTube, and that's at JT the Brick YT. YT stands for YouTube. It's easy. It's a live stream. You're able to talk with us during the breaks. You're able to chat, and you're able to make internet friends. And as Bobby and I were talking about, wasn't that the reason the internet was invented, MySpace? When we had that MySpace JT the Brick page back in the day, it was for friends to make friends on the internet. Really, a lot of people want to date on the internet. They want to swipe right and all that. Not my thing. Coming up on my 25-year anniversary, but you can actually make friends on the internet in live chats when you're talking about sports. So maybe that's something. Maybe you can meet your wife on the live chat of YouTube, JT the Brick. Maybe you'll meet your next Raider buddy you're going to have a Modelo with via my live chat. And speaking of Modelo, proud partner of the show, we got a lot of news coming up with Modelo, man. They just sent me a couple of nice shirts to wear, which I'm going to wear because I love Modelo. And I got a lot to get to today. To begin the show, I have a very heavy heart today. We lost Dave Koken, the Kango Kid. Dave Koken, I started my career in 1996 at Sports Fan Radio Network. At the time, he was the host of the Pete Rose Show. I eventually became the host for a time of the Pete Rose Show. Dave is an icon, was an icon in the sports gambling world. Handicapping, going back, he's been to several outlets along the way. If you're a Vegas radio listener or a gambler, or if you're in the gambling space anywhere nationally, a lot of people know who Dave Koken was. And Dave, I knew very well. I'd see Dave. We've hung out. We've had lunch together a few times at Mastriani's. And, I see him in the hallway. Dave was an iconic guy. They'll never make another Dave Koken. I mean, Dave would walk in. He would walk into the studio with cutoff jean shorts on and cowboy boots. And he'd have a Kango hat on and an eye patch. I mean, I've never seen a guy like that before or since. And he was really good on the radio. And he was one of those guys who was a pioneer on sports radio, because in Vegas, you can't and you still cannot get on the radio in Vegas and be successful without advertisers. You can't do it. I mean, anybody can get on the radio in this town. God knows that. They put anybody on sometimes. But you can't make any money unless you have advertisers. And Koken was incredible with that. From restaurants to bars, everybody knew Dave Koken in town. And Dave would do remotes. You'd walk up to him at a remote. He always wore his sunglasses on. He had an eye issue, but he always had sunglasses on indoors. Walk into a restaurant, who's the guy at the bar with the sunglasses? Dave Koken. And he was really sharp in gambling. You know, and he was very transparent, too. Like, if he lost, like, he'd be live tweeting and a relief pitcher would give up a 3-run homer, he'd lose his bet and said, well, I lost that one. How many other people do that nowadays? How many people do you see in sports gambling, when they lose a bet, they don't tell you they lost a bet? They just like, tomorrow I got my 3-pack. Tomorrow I don't know anything about certain sports, but I'm going to give you a prediction. Dave was good at hockey. Baseball was his specialty. Football, and he was just a good guy. So I feel bad today because I knew Dave. We weren't drinking buddies. We didn't go out all the time, but we were really, really good people. He was good people, and I think he respected me. I respected him. He's come on the radio throughout my career. And again, he was the guy when I started in 96 at Sportsman. He was the guy. with the lineup, which ended up having a bunch of cool lineups back in the day. Dave Koken was on in the middle of the lineup. I remember him walking in every day, again, with the jean shorts on, and he had the Kango hat on, and he'd have just a number of newspapers. This is before the internet. Okay, you had to buy newspapers, and he'd have forms, and he loved Delmar. We always talk about, I don't gamble. I've never placed a bet. Shocking. But Dave was a guy that, if we wanted to talk sports, he was a guy to do it. Really heavy heart today. Rest in peace to Dave Koken. And if you knew Dave, today would be a good day to call in at 702-365-9200. Because a lot of people called into Dave's show. He was on with Steve Cofield for years. He was on with Paulie, right, with Paulie. Paulie Howard, who's over at VSiN, and Mitch Moss, and Matt Humans, and other people, and my buddy Las Vegas golfer Brady Cannon. We all knew Dave, and he ran in tight groups, man. Dave ran. He was from Rhode Island. He's a Rhode Island guy. Loved Boston sports, and I'm going to miss him. I'm going to miss him, man, and he passed away. I saw Scott Spritzer put that out today, and I booked Scott for 1 o'clock. He's going to come on and talk about the legacy of Dave Koken. Really good guy. All right, I wasn't at practice today. I'm back here. I'm emceeing a Raider event tonight at the stadium, so they brought me back, which I'm really happy to be a part of, and I'll be flying back tomorrow morning to be a part of practice. There's a Wednesday practice and a Friday practice. No activities, and the team is off on Thursday. So that's where we are with that. So we got a couple of days to get into this padded practice. I'm following Vinny, Vic, Deshaun, Q, and everybody else involved with this. And, you know, we're going to talk about what I see, what I read in the padded practices. And hopefully, as I don't see anything, hopefully you don't want to see an injury or you don't want to see anything happen there. But earlier today, and we'll get to it in a minute, Antonio Pierce was all ready to go with the pads. And that's important because, as I've been telling you, one of my big takeaways of being out at camp was I feel like the clock is ticking. When you're at training camp, there's clocks everywhere. There's clocks on the field. 30 seconds, 1 minute. Hey, we're going to finish this drill. We're going to another drill. And as a radio host, I'm sitting out there going, you know something? Raiders don't have a lot of time to get good because they're not having a joint practice with another team. And the preseason games, as we all know, preseason games really don't get much out of them. I hope that changes this year. So the padded practices are limited, right? This is the first one since the Raiders played in pads last year in a real game. And the quarterbacks are okay, but they're not having great camps. Unless I find out today that one of them looked better than the other. But they're not, you know, this is a race. This is a competition. And the defense has been shining at training camp, especially the secondary. Ja'Corian Bennett, Trayvon Merrick, who we had on, Epps at safety, Jack Jones, and as they try to work in young corners. So I don't know if they're playing better because of the pass rush. I'm assuming that's going to play a big role. I know today, Divine Diablo speaking, we're going to take you to Malcolm Kuntz. Malcolm Kuntz is going to be speaking. What an X factor he could be. You know, we'll get you an update on Mumford today and his status at the end of practice. So all of this is going to go down as we open up the show. But we want to hear from you and get in to the show and have something to say about where this team is at. And there's not a lot to add to. When I'm there tomorrow, we'll be live tomorrow noon to 2 from camp. We'll have on a player. Hopefully we're going to get a coach, maybe the GM soon. We're going to do all that, and I'll have more information for you on that, and we'll get going. Simone Biles and Team USA got the gold medal for the team in gymnastics. I had to delete a tweet because going into that, my wife was telling me on the couch, they're in trouble. Like they might not win if she doesn't have this unbelievable performance in the floor exercise. So I tweeted that out. USA could be in trouble. And I got a bunch of trolls saying they won the gold. I know they won the gold. I tweeted before she went out there and she was great. So that's good to see. So our men who got the bronze in the team competition and our women who won, fantastic. And then we'll get into South Sudan and LeBron James in the United States of America and what's going to happen there. So with all of this, today's a good day. I'm excited to be on the radio today and a lot of stuff to get done here. I'm going to say it now. I'm going to say this now because I'm really excited. I've been telling you we're bringing a new partner to the show. And the new partner to the show that I'm able to welcome today is Tito's Handmade Vodka. Wow. Wow. So there's a big story behind this. This is something I've been working on for over 8 years. And now my partnership with Tito's Handmade Vodka, one of the most successful brands in the modern history of vodka and spirits, is a proud partner of our show. That is one of the game changers I've had in my career doing local radio. So I want to welcome Tito's. You know I love Tito's. I mean, everybody I have on the show I love, right? Grimaldi's the best pizza I ever had. You know I drink a bucket of Modelo's every Friday. You know I'm always at La Casa Cigars. You know my kids are caniacs, Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers, one love. You know I love the DiCastaverde brothers, right? Go back a long way with them. So everybody that I want to have on this show as partners, I want it to be authentic. I want to have partnerships. And man, Tito's. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo! Tito's. Because you know, when you bump into JT the Brick in the third person, at the Torch, or anywhere else, I love me a Tito's soda with a lime, man. Sometimes a double Tito's, but you know I never drink and drive, as in never. So Tito's, welcome to the show, and we're going to do a lot with them. Tito's, Handmade Vodka, proud partner of the JT the Brick Show and Raider Nation Radio. It took a while. It was worth the wait. Excited to welcome them. Also, another partner we're welcoming back, because they're back under new leadership, is Virgin Hotels. So Virgin Hotels, you know, my DNA comes from the Hard Rock Hotel. I met my wife at the Center Bar walking in to a Rolling Stones concert. Thanks to Cliff Atkinson and the team there with their renewed interest and their passion for this show, and all my friends who work there, from One Steak and J.O.D. and Michael Morton and the whole crew, we are back inside Virgin Hotels, which I kind of recommend to everybody who wants a good room rate, a good concert, go out to the pool, everything they do there, Nobu. Great place. I love it. I'm there all the time. You know I'm there all the time. They knew I was there all the time, so they're back with the show. So excited about all this. So we're going to be welcoming some new partners. And we're bringing someone's back. Some pause, Bobby, some pause in the summer. And then they start in August, September, Woods and Bourbon Whiskey, M-Ride. So a lot of partners there. So a little check the box with some business, because I don't want to do radio for free, man. I got one more year to pay ASU out of state, man. And housing, man. I mean, hey, this stuff ain't cheap. I'm not doing this just to hear myself on the radio, man. You know, you got to pay some bills around here as we get rolling. All right, let's get to Antonio Pierce from earlier today and what he wants this to be about. Guys in pads going balls out.
Full blown. Just like I said, day one. We'll hit the ground running. We'll set up drills to build it up. You'll see over there with the O-line, D-line, and then the front seven, and then we'll get into team periods, and then we'll end practice with life.
Yeah, that's good. That's what you want to hear. You want to hear that this is going to be a scenario and a situation where the head coach wants everybody to go hard today. The head coach wants everybody to go hard. And more from him, because this is the face now of the organization, Antonio Pierce, and this is the way he practiced.
I think it's going to be the offense. If I had to predict today, I think the offensive line is going to get after it. Richie Incognito talked to the team last night, and it was pretty intense. Whatever you think he said, he said.
Yeah, what do you think Richie Incognito said? Okay. What do you think Richie Incognito said? I think he probably got them all fired up to go out there and get it done. So that's what we're talking about today. There are a couple of players that need to get out there and practice hard in the limited padded practice days. That's all it's about. I'm not going to dive into the weeds on stuff that's not my business. I would have loved to have seen a year with another joint practice with the Rams or the Saints, who are right down the road. The Saints are right next to the Raiders, right there. And whatever reason, they're not doing that, which is fine. And we'll see how this plays out. But these padded practices are going to be really important going forward. Antonio Pierce talked about the brotherhood, right? Getting out of Vegas, going somewhere else so the bond can build.
I think we're building something really special. It's a tight unit, not just with the players, but our staff, even our scouting department. We got a lot of our college scouts here. They'll be at practice again today. But just eating together, being in their meetings, all of us getting together, understanding what we're all trying to accomplish, and hearing it from myself, hearing it from Telesco, and then that going down. And then I think the best part, a couple of days ago, we had Chef Guy here cook for our team, and I've never seen our team wait for a meal. But we had 91 players plus staff give over about 150 people waiting to eat with Chef Guy and the celebrity chefs he brought down. And it was good to see everybody go in the team meeting room and just hang out and kind of bond and talk.
One of the biggest social mistakes of my life, not going to dinner with Guy Fieri, who invited me to dinner to get on the road, to come back here the 22 hours it took me home. I could have been sitting with Guy in Flavortown with the coach, but I thought differently. So I'm happy. I wasn't going to talk about it. My wife's like, when are you going to stop talking about your traffic jam, man? I said, well, I'm going to talk about it. It was traumatic for me for a couple days, and I just hear coach talking about the Guy dinner. Unbelievable. All right, let's get to the quarterbacks and what the coach wants, because hasn't been great stellar play from the quarterback so far.
I like to see, again, I'm going to keep saying it, just somebody just to take and say, I'm the Guy, AP, and make it clear and evident, and then we'll make that decision at that point.
Yeah, and that hasn't happened just yet, and what he wants. So what's it going to be for the quarterbacks to go out there, take the job, and assert themselves?
Right, everything. I think it's difficult when we didn't have pads on. There was a lot of things that I'm sure you saw, and it looked like the defense is winning, but obviously you hope that would stop now with pads on, a little bit more resistant. But it goes back to it. Number one thing is taking care of the ball, putting the team in a position to win, managing the offense, understanding the operational. You saw some situational stuff there yesterday. I think our guys are doing a good job. Both quarterbacks have really embracing it. But again, I'm just go back to it. Somebody has to just separate from the other.
All right, so as I'm scrolling here, Tashawn Reed, who we always count on him, as Divine Diablo, Malcolm Kuntz, and Dylan Parham are about to speak for the Raiders. We'll carry one of those. I want to carry Kuntz today. I want to hear what he has to say. Tashawn Reed, 40 minutes ago, Thayer Mumford hurt his left hand early in practice and had to come out for a while, but he's back in now with his hands wrapped up. Remember, he's competing for the starting right tackle position. Number 17, Devontae. Tashawn says it's been a quiet camp so far, but I wouldn't say it's a him thing. Tashawn Reed also, in regards to Bowers, he had a nice catch over the middle during team drills today. But there hasn't been too many flashes in general for the offense. I could report that. I wasn't there today. But the offense, I've been watching a lot of Bowers, and when he's competing against air and not doing much, you know, he looks pretty flashy, but we'll see what happens today. Tashawn Reed, 5 minutes ago. 5 minutes ago, Tashawn Reed from The Athletic. Aiden O'Connell took most of the starting snaps at quarterback today after Gardner Minshew got the majority of the starting reps once again. O'Connell was a little better today, but neither player performed well. Ooh, neither player performed well when it comes to the quarterback situation. All right, well, that leads me back to, let's get an update first from Antonio Pierce on Jackson Powers Johnson on what's happening with him. Just a small bite on what his status is.
Yeah, he's on the pup list. Hopefully get him out here. I know he's looking good, took the glasses off, and kind of like getting out of cool mode and get right back in football mode.
Okay, so the coach said that JPJ is getting back into football mode. Does anybody need anything else? Anybody want to know what's going on with him? I mean, you understand what we do here. We're the flagship of the Raiders. We do not report injuries. We wait for the Raiders to report injuries, and then we do that. But if you got someone who's on the sideline, or I see someone get banged up and get taken off the field, I don't mind a tweet. I normally don't tweet that because it just doesn't – I don't know why people want to hear about a guy getting, you know, coming off the field for a minute, but you do, and I don't do that. So the other guys who do it, I count on them for that information. And here it is, the soundbite that goes into the JT the Brick file on the motivation of what's being said by media about the Raiders. Here's the head coach.
I can't, because they got their phone more than they with me, to be honest. I just can't. I mean, I can sit there. Any coach can lie about that. But you try to just, you know, when we have our team meetings, our staff meetings, I try to do a good job of telling them, look, I get it. Just use it as fuel and fire. No different than I do. I read everything. I hear everything. You got no other choice. I mean, you grab their information by doing that stuff, right? So I appreciate everybody's opinion, but it's just that. At the end of the day, we control, and I think our players really have taken this to heart. We control everything we're going to do going forward. And that's all we're going to do each and every day is chop wood, brick by brick, and let the chips fall where they fall.
Yep. So that's it. Everybody at camp knows that they're getting disrespected. Everybody knows. In the Raider organization and on the team. But I'm running out of time because every time I mention anything, Twitter attacks me. So let me give you an example. Yesterday, you know, I'm putting out tweets. My son was in here cutting up reels. That's a new thing for the young people, reels. Because a lot of people can't listen for 2 hours or an hour, so they just want to see reels. So my son put out a video of me that said, the LA media doesn't want to acknowledge the Raider Nation, but we're about to be unleashed. and it's me on video. It's got 25,000 views. And the Charger fans got it, and then they came after me. They didn't come after you. They came at me. So here's what this one guy said. He said, pointing back at me, he goes, this guy can't figure out why the L.A. media will cover the L.A. Chargers, but not the Las Vegas Raiders, with a smiley face calling me a clown. So my rebuttal to him was, the Raiders have several million more fans than the Chargers in Southern California. They also have several million more fans nationally. That should clear up any confusion. See, a harmless tweet back, right? So I'm getting attacked because I am doing the job as one of the guys at the gate in Game of Thrones and House of Dragons. I'm there at the front of the gate. Now, I'll run if there's a dragon, man. If there's two dragons coming over the city, believe me, I'm getting down. But I don't have to worry about Jim Harbaugh being a dragon. So when I sit at the guardian of the gate and try to help the Raider Nation and tell them what's being said about them, Charger fans are starting to chirp. How about this, Bobby? 27 years for me working for the Raiders. You never heard a peep out of the Chargers. But you did in San Diego because they had a really good fan base in San Diego. The San Diego Chargers, win or lose, man, you go to Qualcomm, the Murph, there are plenty of Charger fans there. Of course, Raider fans took it over because the Raiders are the team of record in Southern California. But I love them. One of the biggest things that disappoints me over the last number of years is I lost a trip every year to San Diego. A lot of my good friends live there, like to go there, get on a boat, go see a Charger Raider game, sideline pass. Unbelievable. Tailgate party. That's gone. It's gone. It no longer exists. So you didn't hear much from the L.A. Charger fans, but now they got Jim Harbaugh. So this is going to go one of two ways. Okay, I thought about this, and I wanted to get this in the monologue. This is going to go one of two ways. We're either going to win or lose. We're either going to win or lose the opening game in L.A. If we lose that game, which I don't think we will, I'm going to get assaulted. And it'll just be not verbally, because most of these people are anonymous, but it's going to be a tough week for me. So I'm going all in on the other side because I really think the Raiders are going to beat the Chargers. I think they're a better team. They got a better roster. But it's the first game Harbaugh's coaching with this team. He doesn't know this team yet. How's he going to get to know him in camp? Camp's just a couple more weeks. So we got to get him. Got to get him in L.A. And let the chips lie after that. We'll see what they fall. Either I'm going to have a rough week two heading into Baltimore, or maybe we'll throw a couple of remotes and celebrate 1-0. I don't predict games for a living. But this is a big one. We don't hear nothing out of Denver now. Crickets. Denver don't want to fight anymore. They've lost 8 in a row. It's going to be hard to beat them 10 in a row. It is. It's going to be hard to beat them 10 in a row. They don't have a quarterback, really. You know, they drafted Bo Nix. Thank God we didn't. Thank God we didn't. We got Brock Bowers. But the Denver, to sweep Sean Payton again, I think it's probable, but it's for Denver fans, they don't think that's going to happen again. And then we were the last team. We, the season ticket holders, the Raiders, we were the last team to beat Kansas City. We did that on Christmas Day. But no one gives us credit for that because Aiden O'Connell didn't complete a pass after the first quarter. So everyone's saying, well, how'd you win that game? Well, we won the game because we won the game playing defense. You know, just defense, two defensive touchdowns. What was it, 9 seconds apart, whatever it is? So that's it. That's where we are at. And here's the big other announcement today. Top 10 Raider games of all time today. We are at number 5, Red Right 88. Red Right 88. Do you know what that means? Raider Nation, you should be able to say it. Do you know what Red Right 88 means? Well, you're getting it today. The crowning achievement of Mike Davis, who I went to his celebration of life. Mark Davis put it together for the family. It was an incredible, incredible experience. I'll never forget. With a lot of alumni who came back. Plunkett, the importance of winning that game to move to a championship and doing it on the road. We're going to get to Red Right 88 today. Hopefully we get a couple of calls other than Raiders 66. Bobby, when do all these callers come back from vacation? Because they know I don't give away koozies. I'm sorry, I don't have a T-shirt for them. I mean, everybody, they got to come off vacation. They can wait. They can wait till September, man. I got things lined up straight on, man. We got five more games to get to. But we can get these callers out of hibernation, man, because I'm fighting the Chargers and Denver on both fronts.
I think the hibernation alarm goes off the day after the first preseason game. That's when it'll all come back.
Yes.
Especially if there's a big win.
Yeah, we don't need any calls. I'll do the show. I did like a podcast to me. Did a podcast with Looney last night. It's up. JT and Looney, wherever you download your podcast, let's get that done. And that is about it. We are paying respect today. The entire show is dedicated to the life and spirit of Dave Koken, an iconic sports radio man from Las Vegas sports radio. He's done some national work. All the gamblers in the world of gambling know who he is. So today would be a good day to salute Dave Koken. That's the least we can do. When someone important passes away, they deserve more than 10 minutes. They deserve a show. And Dave Koken in this building was a made man. And we need to hear from those who love Dave Koken. 702-365-9200. The YouTube is jumping. Get on in there and you'll hear what I have to say when we come back on the other side. The monologue brought to you by PTs. Fantasy football's big for PTs. Okay, with all the PTs locations here in the Valley, Sierra Gold, where I like to go, 215 and Flamingo, they will put together a fantasy football party for you where you can bring everyone out, 5 to 7, midnight to 2, the great food specials. Put your fantasy football league together at any of the great PTs in the Valley on the flagship of the Silver and Black.
Yeah, you know, PBUs are cool. Interceptions are great. You know, turn that ball over is something we want to do, and then we want to take it the other way. You know, you saw that at the end of the season. Our defense really took a lot of pride in scoring defensive touchdowns, and that's the mindset now. And I think Nate understands that. It's a big year for Nate, right? Contract year, fourth year. We expect a lot from Nate. Nate can do a lot of things. Nate's a special player because he can cover, he's explosive, but more importantly, in the run game, and you'll see that today, he's physical. And he's a big asset for our team.
How about the coach, Antonio Pierce, talking about Nate's contract? Ooh, that's a good one. Nate Hobbs' contract year. Said that about Trayvon Merrick, and I said it to his face the other day. I said, hey, man, we're expecting big things for you. You delivered last year. Same thing for Nate Hobbs. Nate Hobbs is a very good player. He is not a Pro Bowler. He needs to become a player who's considered worthy of a Pro Bowl or an honor. If not, he's just a good player. And look, this organization's had good players, really good players, that played a while and didn't make a Pro Bowl. But Nate Hobbs, I mean, we've had Charles Woodson, Mike Haynes, Lester Hayes. You go down the list of everybody we've had who's played corner. Now he's a slot corner. He's very good in the run. Got to have a big year out of Nate Hobbs. Have to. He's got to stay on the field in every package they have there. He's got to patrol the slot, the middle of the field. He's got to put his hands on people. He's got to turn the ball over. That's what he's getting paid to do. And if he does that, I'm assuming he's going to get a really good contract because you don't lose guys like that. Those are the type of guys you want to sign to contracts, and then all of a sudden you look up, and it's been 8 years, 9 years he's with the team. He went to the University of Illinois where my wife graduated from. I went and watched him play in college when we went to play. I didn't notice him at the time. I didn't think he'd be a Raider. But he flashed on the field, and ever since then, we've been following him, and he loves being a Raider. He's got that Raider edge to him. I'll be mentioning throughout the show today, because people get in and out of their cars, lunch, you know how that goes. Dave Koken passed away, the Kango Kid, great handicapper and friend of the show. If you knew who Dave Koken was, say a prayer for him. He's a good guy. We're going to miss him heavily, right? A lot of people in the building today I've bumped into have a heavy heart, so we wanted to bring that up, and we'll continue to bring that up. The game that we're going to get to coming up in a little bit here is Red Right 88. I'm going to get to that, but first, Sawed Off in San Diego. Thanks for checking in. What's happening?
Hey, JT, how are you doing today, man?
Doing good. Thank you.
Thanks for having me on. Hey, Raiders Fan Convention, we had a great time with Marcelo Reese out here in San Diego.
Oh, good.
I know you were out here in L.A. I was inviting you through, but I know you're busy. It was beautiful. But let me go back to Red Right 88. A lot of Raiders don't know about Red Right 88, and I'm not gonna burn the fuse for you. I'm going to let you do it.
No, do it. No, you do it. That's what we're doing. If you call in on the game, go ahead.
But let me tell you, we did a show with Mike Davis We had him in Phoenix. We had him in San Diego. But we did a show with him in Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. And it was the same show that we brought Charles Woodson. So Chuck came through that day. We had the Labor Union out there. We had everybody out there had this big show. And Mike, he sat there just signed autographs all day. And we visited him a little bit. But later on, I went to him just to check in on him, just to make sure that he got one of his little player magnets that we give out.
Yeah.
So the first 200 people that walk in, we give them a player magnet for the player that's featured that day. Mm-hmm. And that day, it was Mike Davis. So anyways, I made a player's magnet, and it said Red Right 88. And then it had like a motion blur of him sweeping across Ozzie Newsome for that interception. And, oh, man, I asked him, I go, did you get one? He goes, no, I didn't. So I went all the way back to the stage, and I grabbed mine. And I went back, and I gave it to him. And he was like, ha, 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 Red Right 80. Oh, man, I go, do you like it? He goes, I love it, man, thank you. And then after that show, he passed away shortly thereafter. What a heavy heart I had when that happened, because he was such a great guy, man. Such
yeah,
a
he
nice
was.
Guy.
And appreciate the call. I got a chance to know Mike a lot. I got to talk to my buddy who listens, Jim, from Jim's Cards and Comics. And I would go out there from time to time. Mike Davis was a guy who signed a lot of autographs. You know, I just finished the Pete Rose documentary last night. And in it, Pete was really good. I'll tie that in. Pete Rose had to sign a lot of autographs, and for big money, because you know he's making $3 million a year selling autographs and going to Cooperstown because that was his income. They wouldn't allow him in the Hall of Fame, and you could say rightfully so or not. That's a debate. So Pete signed autographs. There were a lot of Raiders who signed autographs too. Cliff Branch would go to a Walmart and set up a table before he went to the Hall of Fame. And he died unexpectedly. Cliff would sign autographs, and so would Lester Hayes across town at a different store. And Mike Davis, I got to meet because I went to a Jim's Cards and Comic event, and Mike was there, and he was signing exclusively Red Right 88, his interception against Cleveland in the end zone going up against Ozzie Newsome. It's incredible what he was able to do in that game. Brian Sipe, they didn't need to throw. All they needed to do was kick a field goal and win. They tried to attack the end zone. And Mike Davis, who didn't have great hands, everyone on the team said did not have great hands, he was able to get that done. How about this? This is a good day. Raider D, one of the great original diehard Raider fans, just had a birthday. Reached out to him on Facebook, and he's calling in. What's up, D?
Hey, what's up, JT, man? How you doing, buddy?
Great to hear from you, my friend. I miss you. I hope we get you down here for a few games this year.
Hey, man, most definitely. This is the team that we've been thirsting for years, JT, man. You know, I think this defense and the whole team overall is going to be a lot better. AP has his finger on the pulse of this team, man. I mean, throughout the whole building, man. I haven't been this excited in years, JT. So you definitely see me down there. And I think we're going to have a lot better year than a lot of these so-called experts say we're going to have.
Hey, D, we got – if they don't have a better year than what the experts are saying, it's going to be a bad year. I don't want a bad year. I know this team and Max and Devontae and what we have up front with Zeus and the back end of the safeties now playing together multiple years, Merrig and Epps and Jack Jones and Divine Diablo and Spillane. We got the best punter, and we got a really good kicker. We got to win some games here, man, D, that come down to the fourth quarter. Like you used to get those wins in Oakland, 24-23 in the fourth quarter, get that game-winning field goal, get that last stop. They need games like that this season.
Yeah, man, exactly, man. I see more three and outs. I see better field position for the offense. And with the revamping of that front line, the running game will be activated, you know, a lot. And then you got the two big tight ends to go along with a solid right receiver core, man. I'm not even looking at the offense. I know it's going to be right. But when it comes down to critical times, we won't have to sit back in the fourth quarter, 1 minute left, and watch a team march the ball the length of the field to run off the field with a victory. That won't happen with an AP and a Graham defense, man. And like I said, man, that front seven is looking good. Those linebackers, you know, one, three, four, they all look great, man. Everything is looking good. But we know it's the off season. It's on paper. We got camp, more practices, more work to go through. They have to decide the roster, man. But this team will be able to hold its own and compete with any team in the NFL. And it goes back to the old days, like the guys you were just naming. Teams could come in and get a win. But, man, they did not want to play the Raiders, and they knew they paid the price to get that. You know, so we back to that now.
Good to hear from you, D. That's Raider D, original Oakland. Man, I got a story to tell you on him, but I don't, you know, he took me on a tour. I'm going to say this story quick, and we'll get to our caller, the other one, when we come back. But we got Jeff Sherman coming up, too, but I'm going to tell a story. So Raider D wants me to learn about Oakland. So I'm sitting there, I'm like, what do you mean? He goes, no, you need to know about the O, Oakland. I'm like, okay. All right, he picks me up. I'm at the Oakland Airport Hilton, and he takes me into the hood. And I'm talking the deep part of the hood in Oakland. And he took me to some guy's house, and they got a crawdaddy boiling pot on the lawn. And I'm meeting all these guys, and I'm in their garage. And here they're telling stories about the different eras of Oakland, the 80s and the 90s. I'm talking the OGs of Oakland. And, man, I felt okay because I had Raider D with me. I'll never forget that story. He dropped me off. He took me down all. He took me through the killing fields. You know what that is in Oakland, the killing fields and all this stuff. And I came out of that, and I was like, man, I think I know a little bit more. I didn't know that part about Oakland. The 80s in Oakland. And what it was like growing up there and all the issues that were happening there. And Raider D, he gave me a lesson in the town, Oaktown, which I never forgot. Good to hear from him again. Jeff Sherman will join us from over at the Westgate coming up next. Senior Vice President of Risk Management. So a couple of the moving lines that are coming up. Season win totals, important part. You know, the Hall of Fame game. Hall of Fame game's coming up. And some sharp plays on this particular game that you'll hear here first. We're celebrating the life of Dave Kokin today, who passed away. Jeff knew him well. We'll talk about that next when we come back.
I know you want it, the thing that makes me what the guys go crazy for. They lose their minds the way I whine. I think it's that this is a female part. I'm singing a female thing here. And then I have to go, la, 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 warm it up, la, 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 the boys are waiting. My milkshake,
Dave Cohen. I don't know where Ari found that, but I appreciate him sending it to us. If you've ever worked in this building where we work in, you know who Dave Kokin is. He passed away, I guess, today. Scott Spicer at the top of the hour. Jeff Sherman, kind enough to join us, VP of Risk Management over at the Superbook. And, Jeff, I know you knew Dave well. You were on his show. Give us some Dave's stories and memories you have with him.
Yeah, you know, when I moved to town and started working at the Imperial Palace in the 90s, I learned who Dave Kokin was, and it wasn't until I was invited on a show, the Las Vegas Sports Line, where he and Matt Eumanns hosted, and I was on his show weekly in 2010 and beyond, discussing a variety of subjects. And as much as I like golf, we kept in touch even after that show had ended, and we share weekly insights, weekly selections on golf, and I'll tell you, he could hold his own with anybody on that stuff. He gave me a ton of winners, and you know, just to learn about him as far as his involvement with the Animal Foundation and how much cats meant to him. It was more than just beyond the sports betting, but he was just larger than life and his sense of humor. And, you know, you really wanted to get the insight from him.
Yeah, you're right about golf, but his specialty also was baseball, right? What made him so sharp when it came to baseball?
Well, he had a love for it. Yeah. And that, you need to have that passion. And, you know, that's how I am with golf, and that's how he was with baseball. And if you have that passion and then that perception for the betting aspect of it, you can really excel. And, you know, baseball was at the forefront for him, but like I said, there was a variety of subjects he excelled in.
We're talking to Jeff Sherman over at the Westgate Superbook, VP of Risk Management. Any significant moves on win totals for the NFL as camp opens?
We've had a few, and the most notable one has been the Cowboys. And we had opened them 10.5 under 20. We're down to 10 under 20, so a full half-game move downward. It's also affected the division odds, where we see the Eagles now a minus money favorite, minus 125, after having been plus 120. Dallas has now drifted out. So when you see the season win prices move, it'll affect other markets too. Another notable one, Carolina Panthers has been getting a lot of sharp play. We opened 5 flat. We're up to 5.5 over 30.
Wow.
Then some popular ones like the Lions. The prices change on that. We're at 10.5 under 30, now 10.5 over 30. So popular teams like that.
What about the Raiders as of today?
We opened 7 flat. We're at 7 under minus 130, so seeing a little bit of under support. I think some of that has to do with the differences in market pricing. Some places have 6.5, so some people are trying to go over 6.5 and under 7.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's move on to this Hall of Fame game. I don't know what the handle is going to look like on this, but sharp money on one of the teams here. What's happening as football's about to get underway?
Yeah, just this morning we had the Bears minus 2 against the Texans, which takes place on Thursday night. And we saw some sharp support on the Texans plus 2, so they're now minus 1.5 point favorites.
Wow.
The news broke about Caleb Williams, and the starters will not be playing for the Bears. So we're going to see some Tyson Badgett again for the Bears.
So when you're there with your crew and you're putting up this number and you get information like this, a lot of gamblers want to know who's playing in the preseason. That's some I've talked to a lot of sharp players that like to know and get information that way. So that's something you have to concentrate on because some of that news comes in late, correct?
Oh, yeah. It's 24 hours. We read X and try to find that information out. And, you know, the one thing you have to keep in mind with the preseason, the limits are lower, and then the market fluidity is much more. So you'll see large swings in the point spreads because we'll be more aggressive when we move these because of the information.
Jeff Sherman over at the Westgate, VP of Risk Management. How about any Super Bowl wagers as we wrap up the month of July?
Yeah, over the last month, we've taken some large ones. We took the Chiefs 6-1 for $40,000. The Texans have seen support at 16-1. We took a $15,000 wager there. The Lions at 12-1. We took $10,000. And the Bengals have seen some too, 16-1. They're down to 14 now. We've seen a $15,000 and a $10,000 wager. But the most notable aspect of this is the Chiefs. We opened them 10-1 when the Super Bowl futures went up. They're down to 9-2, and a lot of that has been support.
Jeff Sherman, as we wrap it up, so tell me about betting on the Olympics. That's something I know literally nothing about, and the handle, the limits, and what's happening there over in Paris, time delay. Who's betting on the Olympics, and what are some of the sports people bet on more? I'm assuming it's men's basketball?
It's mostly basketball and soccer, the ones that the American public are familiar with. We do offer many other ones, track and field, swimming. We see action on that, even rugby. So plenty of options to bet. But the ones, like I mentioned, the basketball sees most of it. And you'll see the higher limits with the sports that we're familiar booking too. And so the men's basketball, we'll even take more on the USA basketball game versus the other basketball games themselves. So a lot of action on things like that.
Are there props with Durant coming out and LeBron playing at this level? Can you individually bet player props at the Olympics for basketball?
We don't have any just because you see like last game where Jason Tatum ended up not playing. So those type of situations can arise where they might have different rotations come out. So it's a little bit more difficult to do player props. So we haven't done anything with that. Maybe we will if they can get to the gold medal game.
Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate it. Oh, golf odds, too, at the Olympics here because I love golf, and I think this is to get an Olympic gold medal in golf, Justin Rose, Xander Schauffele. Handicap that for us and some of the elite golfers who are competing.
Very strong field. You have 60 golfers led by Scottie Scheffler at 4-1. Xander coming off his Open Championship at 6-1. McIlroy, Rahm, Morikawa. So an excellent field. They're playing on a course, Le Golf National, that is a DP tournament held course. Someone like Alex Noren has a fantastic history here. You can find him at 35-1. So you can look for angles like that. But it should be a fantastic event. And this is an event that is actually on the PGA Tour.
Thank you for sharing some memories about Dave Koken. Thanks a lot, Jeff.
All right, thanks, JT.
Take care. There he is, Jeff Sherman, talking about the life of Dave Koken, who passed away. And yeah, and he was really sharp, and he bet on a whole bunch of different sports. So nice that Jeff was able to do that. If you're into gambling too, Scott Spreitzer is going to join us at the top of the hour. I'm going to ask him about the legacy of Dave. We all have a heavy heart today. This happens in your business. It happens in our business. When one of your colleagues pass away, you stop everything. Raiders are a priority here with practice and all that. We have you covered. We're going to go over Red Right 88 in about 15 minutes. It's the fifth greatest Raider game of all time. We got some phone calls coming up, too, all of that. But we're going to prioritize Dave Koken, who passed away. Charles is in Oregon. We'll get out to Charles on the Raiders mobile app. Hello, Charles.
Hey, JT. Thanks for having me on. I just want to give my condolences. Sorry for the loss of your friend. Got to be rough. So,
yep.
Just wanted to call in about the Red Right 88. When you started talking about it, I immediately flashed back. I was like 10 years old at the time. I'm from Oregon now, but I'm originally from Castroville, California. Grew up down there, and I fell in love with the Raiders. It started with Snake, Casper, Branch, all of them. Mm-hmm. And when I was a kid, I always felt like the way that they played football was just so rough. The way they played defense, whether it's the assassin, Jack Tatum, just the way they played ball. I loved it. Fell in love with it. But to me, there was also a bit of magic, and the magic in how they won games, like in the Holy Roller and so forth. Mm-hmm. And I will never forget that game against the Browns, because even as a kid, I understood enough to know, hey, are they going to kick the field goal here? What's going to happen? And I was already, you know, preparing for, hey, maybe the Raiders aren't going to move on. And to see them line up and run that play and that interception from a guy that, looking back in history, a lot of other players said he couldn't catch a cold. You know, Mike Davis couldn't catch a cold in practice. He never caught the ball when the ball would get thrown to him. And for him to make that amazing catch, got to know Mike a little bit through social media after that, just a wonderful man. Got to know a lot of the Raiders, had dinner with Jim Plunkett. And so I just got to say, that was one of the most memorable, awesome games of my childhood, was seeing Mike Davis pick off that pass and take the Raiders to move on to the playoffs. So thanks for having me on. I just wanted to say how much that game meant to me.
Yeah, it meant a lot to everybody there. Appreciate it. And the Raiders had an 11-5 record and qualified for the wild card. And we know what happened after that. If Mike Davis doesn't make that pick, you miss out on a Super Bowl. So that's why it's important. We have it number five, the fifth greatest game of all time. I'm going to get to that coming up on the other side. M Resort Spa and Casino. They got a lot of concerts outside. I talked to my buddy Patrick Durkin over there. Great friend. And he tells me everything that's happening on property all the time. And with the concerts this summer out at the pool, to the great restaurants and dining, it's the official hotel of the Silver and Black. What a beautiful resort property. Tremendous times and great memories to come. M Resort.